What I'd like to do now is to tell you a little story, a story about a little boy. He was about 10 years old, and this little boy had spent his whole life going along to church with his mum and dad every week. From as long as he could remember, he was in church. And some of you youngsters here, and those that are older, may have been in that position, never knowing a day you didn't go to church. And this little boy, he's 10 years old, and he just starts to realize that when he sits down in the pew, just like you all are, when he's a little bit old, about 10, he starts to listen to the preacher up there behind the lectern in the pulpit, and he starts to pick up on a theme that happens every single sermon. And he starts to realize that the preacher, without fail, every week, is telling the little boy how to behave, what to do. And so he hears things like, make sure that you love other people. Make sure you give money to the poor. Make sure you're not greedy. Make sure you're kind to each other. Make sure you do what your mum and dad say. And so he leaves the church. He gets up off his pew, walks down the aisle and out the door every single week, and he says to himself, do good. Do good. Do good. Now, what would you say to that little boy? Is Christianity all about doing good? Is it all about being good?
The reading this morning is taken from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and that can be found on page 1199. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceful and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of our Lord, love of God, our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone.
Thanks very much, Harriet. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for speaking to us. And Father, we pray that you would help us learn and put into practice what your word has to say for us. We pray that we would be those that grow more to be like Jesus and love one another. As we rely on your salvation, in Jesus' name, amen. So do you remember that little boy? He was sitting in his pew, and he was saying, do good. Is that what Christianity is all about? Well, if he had picked up Titus chapter 3, and he had read verse 1, he would have read that Christians are to be ready to do whatever is good. So he'd be right, wouldn't he? He realized that Christianity says in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, do good. Now, just so we've got a bit of interaction this morning, whenever I say the words do good, I'd love you to respond by doing some actions, all right? So this is a sign language for it, I think. So it's do good. I think that's quite easy. I think we can all get on board with that. All right, hands out. Bible's just down on the pew for a moment, everyone. So it's do good. Hey, is that right? Like that. Do. Okay, do good. Fantastic. So every time I say do good, you do? Good. So if we're a follower of Jesus here this morning, Titus chapter 3, verse 1 says we're to be ready to do good. Yay, okay, well done. So we're to be ready to do it in whatever situation, all the time, with everyone. It's a kind of all in, all the time sort of thing that Titus 3, verse 1 says Christians are to do good. Now, did his picture of this year I will, and five, a list of five. Did anyone here make a New Year's resolution yesterday? We got one at the back. You don't have to say what it is. We got one at the front. Any more? Just scratching the head. Okay, well, we might make New Year's resolutions. Think this year, this is what I want to do. We might have things like less chocolate, more exercise, less screen time, more family time, more vegetables, maybe go vegan, something like that. Use a diary, say thank you a little bit more. We get used to doing New Year's resolutions. And here, this morning in Titus chapter 3, it's like we get a New Year's resolution. And it's a pretty big one. The New Year's resolution is to do good. To do good. And in our passage, we get two ways that Paul tells Titus to tell the church that we're to do good. Yay, okay, well done. The first one is this: listen. It is listen. And it's to listen to those in charge of us. Let me reread a bit of verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. We're to listen. Listen to those who are in charge of us. Now, who here has someone in charge of them? Let's have a little think. Who tells you what to do? Hands up. Who tells you in life, who tells you what to do? Anna?
My boss.
Your boss. Anyone else tell you what to do? Anyone else?
Teacher.
Your teacher. Well, exactly. Anyone at home tell you what to do? Children? Isla? Yeah? Your mum and dad told you to put your hand up? Did you put your hand up? Our mums and dads or carers tell us what to do at home. The government tell us what to do quite a lot recently. Maybe the council tell us what to do, when to put our bins out. Sophie, what about you? Your granddad tells you what to do. You see, and that's what it's like for all of us. We all have people in charge of us. All have people telling us to do something, and we're to listen with our ears, and then to do what they say. Listen and do. And that's what it means to obey, to listen and do what someone says. And that is true for anyone who's in charge of us. Only when doing what someone else says means we're going against God, I guess, is one of those caveats to that. But hands up. Okay, who gets told to tidy their bedroom? Yeah, a few at the front. Who gets told to stop talking at school? Yeah. Who gets told what they can and can't do by the government? Yeah. Who gets told to hand in some work on time? Who gets told to keep their deadlines at work? Yeah, we all of us have people in charge who tell us what to do. And to those people, all of us are to listen and do what they say. It is to obey. And so to do good means to listen to those in charge of us. But the second way is to do good. Ooh, we're getting a little slower. Okay, the second way to do good, well done, is to love those around us. Love those around us. Let me reread some of verse 2. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. So we're to love those around us. So we don't tell lies, we don't try and get in fights, but the opposite, we look for peace. We look to be kind and gentle and generous. We think of others first and not ourselves. We don't think just of our friends or what we want, We think of what might love and how we could care for other people. What's this going to look like? Hey, well, let me tell you about this family. This is the J family. Let me introduce you to Jimmy. He's a little boy, the son. Does he snatch his Christmas toy off his sister Jenny, just between mum and dad, or does he let her play with it for a while and then get it back some later time? Of course, he shares it, doesn't he? That's what it would mean to love her. Does Jenny get Jimmy in trouble by telling mum and dad that he hasn't tidied his bedroom? Or does she go and help him tidy his bedroom? Well, obviously, he helps him tidy his bedroom. Now, Jimmy's dad, there he is, Jim. Does Jim, wanting that promotion so bad, start to slur some of his other colleagues just so that he's in line to get that promotion? Of course he doesn't. He does just the opposite. And what about Joanna, the mum? She's on the school WhatsApp group, and the gossip is just going crazy about a teacher. Does she join in and create more hate, or does she try and encourage peace amongst the parents? She encourages peace, doesn't she? That's what it would mean to do good, to love those around us. So doing good will mean that we listen to those in charge of us and we love those around us. And I don't know how you're feeling sitting there. You might be thinking, wow, this is a pretty big New Year's resolution. Doing good is pretty significant. And actually, it feels a little bit hard. It feels too hard, actually. I can't really do it. I've already failed. I might as well give up. It's just impossible what you're telling me to do. This sort of life is just too hard. Would you remember that little boy at the start sitting in his pew? The difference between that little boy and us sitting here this morning are three wonderful words. Three words that he didn't know. And three wonderful words that make all the difference. And we're going to find out what those three words are, because we are going to have a little superhero quiz. Who doesn't love a superhero quiz? And especially when gold coins are involved. Now, I'd love you to have a little think. I mean, anyone can take part in this if there's a gold coin on offer. Have a little think about who you think are the top five most popular superheroes. And then I want you to put your hand up when I say, and just give me one of those. And if you get that one right, then you get a coin. And then we'll go around and see if we can get the top five. But if you don't get it right, you don't get a coin, right? That's how it works. Okay, hands up, top five most popular superheroes. Who's going to start us off? Anna.
Superman.
Well done. Anyone else? Let's just make sure.
Batman.
Superman. Batman. Yeah. Captain America's in there. Iron Man's in there. How many is that? That's four. There's one more to go. Who do we think? What do you think, Lisa? Not Wonder Woman, but you can still have a coin. Anyone else? One more. Spider-Man is right. There you go. Wow. So that is quite a lot of superheroes. And I'm sure we've all heard of a couple of those. And we love superheroes, don't we? We think they're the best. The number of films that are coming out about superheroes is crazy. We love them because superheroes save, right? So you'll get one of these superheroes and they'll save someone in danger. Or they might even save a whole city in danger. And I don't know, with some of these new superheroes, maybe the entire universe is in danger. And these superheroes, this one person saves the entire universe, a city, or just one person. We absolutely love superheroes. The world out there loves superheroes. And the reason is, the story behind every single one is that they save someone. And do you remember, just before that song, I told us about that little boy. He was sitting on his pew, and there were three wonderful words that he didn't know. And those three words are... He saved us. He saved us. Jesus saved us. Now, I don't think this is the official sign language for it, but he saved us. Can we all do that? He saved us. And every time, as before, I say, he saved us. Well done, he saved us. Nice and quick at the back, I like it. So Jesus saved us from a life before Jesus. Verse 3, a life of disobeying God, of saying no to him, of hating God, hating one another. That we could encapsulate that with the word sin. Jesus saved us from our sin. And he saved us through God's kindness and his love for us. Verse 4, he sent Jesus to come and appear on earth, what we've been celebrating at Christmas. He saved us. And he did that not because we're good, not because of righteous things we have done, but by his mercy and his grace. He saved us. So one way of looking at it is in verse 5. It's up on the screen, or have a look down. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the Holy Spirit washes us clean, clean from our sin, washing us, meaning the old is gone, and we're reborn, a new creation. And we're given God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us now, right now, making us more and more like Jesus, transforming us. He saved us. There's another way of looking at it in verse 7. Having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs of the hope of eternal life. So at the cross, when Jesus died, he took upon himself all our sin and the anger that comes from God because of it. And he gives us his perfect record. We are justified. If you've been here at Christchurch over the last few months, we've been thinking about that in the book of Romans from September until the Christmas period. He saved us. So Jesus is the sort of ultimate superhero. He saves. He is amazing. Jesus has done so much for us. God loves us so much. And doesn't that he saved us, make us want to do good? Make us want to do good. But my question is, which way round do these two signs go? There's he saved us, and there's do good. Does a do good come first, or does it come afterwards? Well, I want to tell us a little bit about a horse and a cart. Just bear with me one moment. We know how the horse and cart relationship works, don't we? So you've got a horse, there we are, at the front, and behind the horse comes the cart. Before cars or any of that, we have a horse and a cart. This is the way they work. There we go. So we know how it works. The horse walks forward and pulls the cart behind it. Now, you would never, ever say to the cart, can you please go forward? Go into that next village and pick up those groceries. The cart, it can't move all by itself, can it? It's stationary without the horse. The cart really needs the horse to move it. If the horse doesn't move, the cart doesn't move. And it's like we get that sort of horse and cart relationship, horse first and cart second, in verse 8. Have a look at verse 8. It's up on the screen. Those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. So those who have trusted in God, so the he saved us people, that comes first. It's the horse, if you like. Let's move it to the horse. So, the horse, it comes first. He saved us, it comes first. We saw that in that verse. Those who have trusted in God then may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. So after the horse comes the cart. The do good comes next, doesn't it? He saved us. That's the horse. That comes first. And then after that comes our life. It comes the way that we live in response to, because of, he saved us. I'll stop on about this boy in a moment. But let's go back to the boy for the final time. Remember, he was sitting in his pew. Well, this boy, he was only told the cart. He was only told to do good. But when this little boy, who's actually me, when I was grew up and was in my 20s, someone explained to me the horse, explained how exciting it is, as we can see, that he saved us. That was the news that I heard that I didn't know before. You see, trying to do this, trying to do the cart without the horse, it's never going to happen. It's never going to last. It's never going to please God. It's going to fade out. It's going to stop. Any New Year's resolutions based around this that doesn't have this is not going to last. We need the horse if we're going to be doing the cart. So let's make sure this new year that we have He saved us in our heads. Make sure we have it in our hearts, that we love it, that we keep reminding ourselves of it, that we never move on from it, that we keep remembering the horse. So, this year, 2022, we can do good. We can devote ourselves to it. We can live God's way, all because of the horse, because he saved us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for rescuing us. Thank you that you have saved us if we are your children. And Father, thank you that that leads us, that motivates us to want to live your way and to do good. We pray that you'd help us this year to do good. And we pray that that would always be in response of your great salvation for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.